Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. So excited to welcome Bob King to our show this morning. Yeah, I'm kind of fangirl about Bob, too. His newest book is called Wonders of the Night Sky, You Must See Before You Die. And if Bob's name is familiar to you, maybe you know him from his work as the photo editor and a photojournalist at the Duluth News Tribune, or maybe you're familiar with him through his AstroBob blog, or maybe you remember the days of his show back here in the early days of Northland Morning. Hey, Bob, good morning. So good to have you on the air again.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Yeah, it's great to be on the air again, too. And I still remember those great times at KUMD when I was an announcer.
Yeah.
Morning show. A lot of fun.
I'm just saying, Bob, if this newspaper gig doesn't work out for you, you know you've always got a home here at KUMD.
Oh, thank you. I may take you up on that sometime.
I think that sounds... Well, maybe we'll just switch jobs when we retire.
Okay. Yeah,
I think that would
we'll
be jolly. And you and I would still meet at the John Bear Grease every year.
Of course.
So listen to this. Deborah Bird is the editor-in-chief of Earth Sky, and she writes about Bob King's book. Bob King isn't just one of the best astronomy writers alive today. He is the best astronomy writer alive today. He has a beautiful and clear writing style that's a profound pleasure to read. Wonders of the Night Sky, You Must See Before You Die is a book you'll definitely want to own and enjoy. How about that?
Wow. Boy, that is... It's too much for me to take.
That's pretty cool.
She was too kind.
I don't believe so one bit. Now, Bob, the photographs in this book, of course, as an amateur photographer, I was interested in the photographs. The first thing I thought of when I think of you, as many people do, is as a fabulous photographer, you pulled photographs from all kinds of different sources. And I don't actually see a lot of photo credits by Bob King here. How did that come to be?
You mean that you see many or you don't see many? I'm sorry.
I did not see very many. I mean, a lot of these came from, you've got, well, there's one. Oh, I've seen that one before. I love that one. Some of these, of course, need to be taken, you know, through telescopes, and you've sourced some through NASA and of course, other places mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. But there aren't, it was interesting to me. I was sort of hoping, I guess, before I started to look through the book, that it was going to be all Bob King photographs.
Well, there are some in there, definitely. But there are a few things. For instance, some objects in the southern hemisphere, like Alpha Centauri, the brightest or the closest star, where I just haven't been to the southern hemisphere in a while, so I haven't been able to get my own photographs of those. So I work with other people. And then there were a couple of phenomena that even I had not seen yet, and so I had to use other photographs there, too. But, yeah, it's sprinkled with some of my own work that I've taken right here in Duluth. They're a few miles north of town where the mosquitoes bite at night, but the skies are really, really clear.
All right, so I'm curious. How can you determine that a site is something you've got to see before you die if you haven't seen it yet?
Well, it's such a dramatic title, isn't it? Well, it kind of all started with the planet Saturn, because when I would just go out in the public, like down at Canal Park or teaching classes, how few people had actually seen Saturn through a telescope. And I got to thinking, my gosh, that's something you have to see, you know, before you pass from this Earth. And so I began to think of other things that I thought were really interesting or just were good to know about, some things you always read about, like asteroids passing close to the Earth. Have you ever seen an asteroid? I think people are curious about what these things look like. So I compiled a list and came up actually with 70. That was the initial number.
Wow.
And I thought, how am I going to come up with 70 different things that you must see? And so I did, and then I gave that to the publisher. And they said, well, this is too long. We're going to have to cut it back. So they
and
cut
you
it
said,
back.
Now I'm all excited about these 70 things.
I've got the secret. I've got the others, you know, the lost 13.
Okay, good.
Seven, actually, in the book.
Okay, double. Good to know.
I picked some things that people often talk about but rarely get a chance to see, like the Southern Cross, and then a few more things that are planet and the moon, or two or three planets get together, because I know how much people really enjoy those things. So those sorts of things are included in the book. So you've got naked eye sights, you've got things you need binoculars for, and then a few items in there for telescopes. And I have a couple of pages on how to pick a good and inexpensive telescope as well.
What are our options for telescopes? I haven't run into Howard Moore's recently, so I don't know what our options are with regard to UMD's astronomy program in terms of saying, hey, can people come in and look at stuff through the telescope?
Well, they don't have a scope really set up yet, but if they get all the funding they're hoping to get, they will have a telescope, and they have the dome back now, and they're going to put together, kind of build a new observatory there on campus at the Marshall Allworth building. And there will be, if it all comes to fruition, there's going to be like a sky viewing platform outside the observatory. The observatory would be for the students, for research and for photography, but there would be a platform area where people could get together. The astronomy club would have outings there, and there would be telescopes set up. So I think, if this happens, there will be more opportunities for the public to see the sky through telescopes right at UMD.
Oh, that'll be exciting. Tell me again about your list. Some of the things, obviously, that you came up with to put on this list of things to see. As you mentioned, you haven't actually seen yourself. As you were doing the research for the book, did you run across something that you hadn't expected and go, oh, I never knew this was a thing. I got to see this thing.
Well, that's a great question. There are things, generally, I've known about the things that I've wanted to see, especially those that I haven't seen yet. I'm trying to think if there was anything that I really didn't know about. I just wanted to make sure. I did a lot of checking with other people, too, to see what their very favorite objects to look at were, and so that I didn't miss any obvious ones. That'd be terrible, right?
Exactly.
But in terms of seeing something that I had no knowledge of, I have to say there aren't any of those in here.
Well, that's what you get for staying on top of stuff the way you do, Bob.
It's only because I've been looking at the night sky for so many years.
Exactly.
I was about 11 years old. And of course, I've read many. I've always kind of been reading books and magazines about this thing. I've always been kind of a nerd about the night sky. So.
Well, the rumor has it that the night sky is kind of a nerd for you, too.
It's just wonderful. Tonight, for instance, it's going to be clear.
It is, but there's going to be like around 10 o'clock, it's going to be like all of these like wild explosions in the sky.
Yes, there will be that.
And so you could see those. Probably don't need binoculars or anything. You can probably see those just fine. But then maybe after that, there could be some cool things to see.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did a blog. It was yesterday because we thought the 4th of July fireworks were going to happen yesterday, about the things you can see when you're out either waiting for the fireworks to happen or right after the fireworks. And it's mostly bright planets that are out right now, and then a couple of really bright, nice stars, too, that anybody could see. Even from downtown Duluth, you can see the planets.
Bob, one last thing I want to ask you. We're running out of time, but one last thing I want to ask you. If you're a person that grew up in town, doesn't matter how big the town, but you grew up in town, you look up and you see the stars. But when you go camping for the first time and you get out into the Tules where there is no light pollution at all, the night sky is so different and so amazing that you just stand there with your mouth hanging open and bugs flying in,
yes,
unable to believe that this is the same sky you haven't paid much attention to your whole life. How many people talk to you about that when you are talking with them about the wonders of the night sky?
Oh, everybody likes to see the night sky when they're out. I mean, it's just a marvel to look up. And especially this time of year, a lot of people will be out camping. We go out this summer. And the summertime Milky Way is the most beautiful and brightest part of the Milky Way that you can see. And that's just filled with stars. It has just a beautiful sort of glowing, scintillating texture to it. Plus, just the sheer number of stars in the darkness of the sky. It is a thing of beauty, and I believe it needs to be preserved and cherished.
And so the idea of light pollution kind of really is a thing. Maybe the very first item in the book should be go where there is no light pollution and look up at the sky.
I do mention that in the book, for sure. I talk about going how to find places where the sky is dark where you live. There is an atlas that you can go to online that will show you where it's a dark sky atlas, and it will show you all the cities, and it has the umbrellas of light pollution around them. And you can zoom in, and you can see what roads you need to take even to leave the light pollution to find a dark sky. Of course, it's also good to work with your city council to try to make sure that you preserve dark skies in your own neighborhood by making sure that the lighting that's used is of a good type. So it's not just escaping, you know, there's that part, you know, you want to get to a dark place, but you also want to preserve darkness too through actions, you know, with city council.
Exactly. And you've got some wonderful resources in the book. It's such a treasure trove of all kinds of fabulous things to see. Definitely a book to bring with you, either to get and read before you go camping, or to have with you and to climb in the sleeping bag with your little flashlight and read it by flashlight and then jump up and go outside and take another look.
That sounds great. I think I'm going to get a copy.
I think you should, Bob. Thank you so much for joining us. And sometime I hope we get to have you on the air and you can talk with us about night sky photography.
Oh, I would love to.
That would be so cool.
It can be easy. Yes, it can be done. A lot of people can do it now.
Yes,
I'd love to do that.
Amazing. Bob, thanks again so much for joining us. I appreciate your time so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bob King is the author and photographer for a book, not the sole photographer, but still, of a wonderful book called Wonders of the Night Sky You Must See Before You Die. He joined us this morning as our guest on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.